Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are you glad for your friend Jesus tonight? Oh, praise the Lord. It is so true that there is no friend like the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Well, come on in, you two. Praise the Lord Jesus. I know it's such a privilege, it's such a joy to know the Lord. You know, I honestly don't know what people do without Him. He is our guide, He is our friend, He is our Savior. He is the most faithful individual, well, He's God, that we could ever imagine, we could ever find. And oh my, it is such a privilege to be His child, to just think that we can share with Him. We can bring our burdens to Him. He careth for us. We can cast our cares upon Him. Amen. For He careth for us. And that is a privilege. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. We're going to pray as we begin here tonight and ask the Lord to have His way. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You again for such an opportunity. We thank You, Lord, that, oh Lord, Your door of salvation is still opened. And we can still draw nigh to You. We can still come unto You, Lord. Oh God, we can still seek Your face. Oh Lord, we can still get our lives in order, Lord Jesus. Oh God, surely Thou art calling, Lord. And surely Thou, oh God, is helping us to know, Lord, oh, the lateness of the hour, the great need of the moment. And I just pray, oh God, that You would stir our hearts, oh Lord. Oh God, we could do nothing without You. We come to You, Lord Jesus. We ask, oh Lord, that You would move in our lives, that You would give us hope. Hope beyond this world. Oh God, hope in the moments ahead. Hope that our lives are secured in Thee, Lord. And oh God, regardless of troubled times, oh Lord, You will be with us, God, to make a way, to show us, to guide us, to direct us, to take us home, Lord, when it's that moment. And oh God, I pray that You'd have Your way, Lord. Oh God, speak to each and every one of us. Cause us to be drawn close to Thee. Talk to our hearts. Tug at our hearts. Oh God, I pray, oh God, that Your word would have free course. Oh God, that it do what Thou has ordained it to do. Oh God, talk to each and every one, Lord. And oh God, I pray that You draw us close to Thee. Help us to overcome. Help us to live for Thee. And oh Lord, I pray the devil would be rebuked. He'd have no place here, Lord. And I pray, oh God, that You'd open up my mouth so that it may speak Your word. Oh God, that it would be true to Thy word. And oh God, that You would use it for Thy name's sake and for Thy glory, Lord. Oh God, for this opportunity, I thank You, Lord. And I praise You in Jesus' name. Help each and every one, Lord. You know the struggles of Your people. Oh Lord, You know, oh God, the burdens, the cares. And oh Lord, I pray, oh God, that we'd be able to cast those cares upon You, knowing that You care for us. Oh God, knowing that You died, that we might be delivered, that we might be set free. Oh God, that we might be Your sons and daughters. I pray that You'd minister to us tonight in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank our God. It surely is wonderful to know Him. Oh yes, we'll call this message Hope in a Troubled Time. And as I was thinking on this today, I thought of a scripture there. It's actually in the book of Job, and it's a short one, actually. Kind of amazing. Charles Schulz used to use it in his cartoons, I think, there. It's Charlie Brown thing sometimes. But I remember, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. And, you know, it sounds a little bit pessimistic. But you know, the thing is, we as human beings, and that's found in Job, the 5th chapter and verse 7. You know, we as human beings, you know, we don't have to live too long until, you know, we understand a little bit what trouble is, what conflicts are, you know, things that go wrong, and, you know, circumstances that are far from perfect. But thank the Lord, we have so much hope in our God. And there is such a blessing to learn to give it all over to the Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, you know, there's a reason he did urge people to come unto him. All ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. Amen. There, as Jesus cried, Luke 11. Yes, oh yes, such a need, yes, to give everything over to the Lord Jesus. And I know, as Jesus was going to Gethsemane, and he gave that beautiful discourse to his disciples who were with him at that moment, he ended it by saying in John the 16th chapter, verse 33, Jesus said to them, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Oh, praise the Lord, yes. "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And praise the Lord. You know, the world looks for peace. And oh, there are many imitations of peace. Man's ideals and his philosophies and all the things that, you know, he conjures up in his mind. But you know, to have real peace, it only comes from God. Oh, yes, it can only be the peace that the Lord Jesus gives that passes all understanding. The peace that stills the tempest in our lives. Oh, yes, when the waves are raging and the wind is howling and it's blowing and it's angry out there. Oh, yes, his words, "Peace, be still." Oh, it still sounds. It still ministers to our heart because, yes, he knows how to take our circumstances, whatever they may be, and change them and work through them and give us peace and to give us hope in the day of trouble. Praise the Lord. And in a troubled time. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we are so blessed to know the Lord. Yes, for surely that peace only comes from the Lord Jesus. I'm so glad he takes our lives and changes them and gives us hope. We just looked at all the circumstances of this world and, you know, all the potential. And that was all we knew. Oh my, how could we stand it? It would be so unbearable, you know, to see these things that are coming upon the face of the earth and think, oh my, you know, we're in trouble and there's no hope, there's no end to it. You know, you know, we're all going to die. You know, it's going to be over and, you know, there's nothing but trouble, trouble, trouble. But praise the Lord, we have hope in our God. And I thank God his word resounds with the promises of hope, real hope, against the most wildest of things in this world, the most troublous things in this world. Thank our God. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord, for he is with us and he is our God. And we have hope in him. Praise the Lord. We are going to go to a couple of Psalms, Lord willing, here tonight. And first, I'd like to go to Psalms 42. It's a short psalm, pretty much. But, you know, I believe, you know, there's quite a word here. So let's just go here and study it. see what the Lord will show us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Whoever penned this, I believe it just says to the chief musician, Maskil, for the sons of Korah. So I'm not quite sure just how, you know, to whom it was written or who was behind this, but obviously the writer was going through a very difficult moment. Psalms 42 it is. And, you know, there's a lot to glean in this, because I think if we're human, if we've lived a few years, maybe not even that long, it doesn't take long to understand conflict, as I believe I've already said. But, you know, we'll see. This psalm, it really, you know, there's a fight going on, a battle. So let's go to it. Psalms 42. Okay, the first verse. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And, of course, a hart is another name for a deer. And, of course, it talks about a great longing in this first verse. Oh, yes, a desire in the soul for God, with great yearning and determination too, looking for God, you know, as a deer would pant after the water brooks. Oh yes, we need water in the physical to sustain life, don't we? Amen. I mean, how long can we go without water? And the creatures know that likewise. And, you know, if it's a type of a drought, if it's a very hot day, even, we know that we need to drink water. And preachers realize this and know it too. But if we need water in the physical, how about our soul? Do we think about our soul? Do we ponder the needs of our soul? Yes, because our soul also needs the living water that comes from God. Oh yes, there's nothing that can satisfy our soul but the Lord Jesus. And so, yes, if we haven't found Him, if His goodness has been not known to us, then, oh my, there's something, a yearning deep inside that has not been fulfilled. And here we see this writer was, you know, talking about the thirst in his soul. And he writes in verse 2, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. And indeed, there's a need to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Jesus said in His Sermon on the Mount that they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. And here, yes, we get it. As you know, He's saying, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Oh, men go to so many other resources to try to find hope, to try to find answers. But my, those are just very poor substitutes. Oh, they just feign to bring hope and answers. But praise the Lord, this writer realized that there was a need to thirst after the living God. Oh, yes. And then he asks in the second part of verse 2, when shall I come and appear before God? Seems like there was a great desire, you know? You know, there easily could be times that we're just sick of this old world. You know, the sorrow, the grief, the suffering, the misunderstandings, persecution, and, you know, sometimes it might seem like it's trouble, trouble, trouble all the time. Well, yeah, you know, and there comes a time when, oh my, we really have had our fill of it. And I think this writer, all that was going on in his life was obviously very disturbing and agitating. I believe he was sick of running. I believe he was sick of enemies and all this and that. And, you know, he's crying out for God. He's crying out for God. And he asks with great desire, when shall I come and appear before God? And then it's explained in verse 3. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? So obviously, you know, people are onto him and bugging him and troubling him, afflicting him, and, you know, whatever all, you know, well, look at things aren't going for you. You know, where is your God anyway? That God that you speak of, where is he? Well, they were troubling him, and, you know, the burden was so heavy in this man's life. His tears were constantly, they were his meat, and day and night, he's saying, you know, obviously, it seemed like he was sobbing all the time. And obviously, you know, people just mocked him. And, oh, he's pondering. In verse 4, it says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. So it should have been a happy time. It should have been a good time. But somehow there was a burden in this individual's heart that was so strong, and, you know, an affliction, something that he just continually was pouring his heart out for. That makes me think of Hannah. Just when, you know, Eli didn't understand the heavy burden that was in her heart when, you know, there it was. It was the time of a feasting, of celebration of the holy days. And, you know, yet she was so burdened. And, you know, she wasn't, you know, she couldn't even, you know, think of eating at the moment. And you know, just there, you know, talking to the Lord and sharing with God the petition of her heart. Oh, yes, it can be like that. But we serve a God who cares, and a God who understands, just like he cared for Hannah. And praise the Lord, he answered that request that was deep in her soul, that longing in her soul. Praise the Lord. And here, yes, you know, there was something that was bothering this individual here in this psalm. And he went with the multitude to the house of the Lord with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. But he was fighting a battle, and it was strong, and yes, it had cast him down. Oh, yes, and he's talking to his soul because, oh, he's so disturbed. And, you know, I shouldn't really be this way. It's a happy time, you know, we're here together. You know, it's a joyful time, but oh, I am fighting this. And verse 5 asks, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? In other words, why this trouble? Why am I disquieted or troubled or anxious, restless, in this distress, so discouraged? And then, yes, as he tries to encourage himself, oh, yes, okay. The way to God is to encourage yourself, to think upon the good things of God, to hope in God. And he says, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, he knew. Yes, in order to get through this, he had to get his mind in that place where, oh, yes, he had that hope in God. And, oh, there is something beautiful about it when we praise the Lord with all our hearts. And, oh, yes, he has promised when we draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to us. And, oh, we know from that 22nd Psalm that he inhabits the praises of his people. He lives in the praises of his people. And, oh, we know that there are times when we might be just, oh, depressed and full of sorrow and this heavy load and wondering why the answers haven't come and why I'm still, you know, fighting this battle. I believe the psalmist here was in that predicament. It most likely had been a long time, and it had seemed like, you know, the answer hadn't come yet. Gloria. God knows how to bring forth. He knows how to answer. There are reasons for our trials and tests that we might not always get it. You know, we might not. I know in Psalms 119, the little section that is called Teth there, verse 67 tells us, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word." And, you know, he says, "Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me." You see, there was trouble also. Whoever penned this 119th psalm also knew, you know, troubles. And oh, yes, people coming against him also. Yeah, he said, "The proud have forged a lie against me." You know, that's pretty hard. When people are going around and, you know, they're telling a tale and spinning it and spreading it. And, you know, people are coming against us and looking at us with a funny face. But it's not true. It just says, verse 69, the second part says, "But I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart." Oh, despite all the murmurings, oh God, all the, you know, words that are going around, the gossip, "I'm going to stand true for you, God. I'm going to keep thy precepts with my whole heart." Oh, praise the Lord. That's how God wants us to serve him, with our whole being, with our whole heart. He said their heart is as fat as grease. "But I delight in thy law." Verse 71 says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." Oh, praise the Lord. He learned the value of affliction. And sometimes that's the only way that God can get our attention. You know, sometimes we're just caught in a snare. We had some misthinking and, you know, or we just got, you know, involved with a crowd and, you know, kind of got going their way and, oh, kind of know it's wrong, but, you know, we're just driven, it seems. But God knows how to deliver us. Praise the Lord, he knows how to set us free. And sometimes he uses affliction. Amen. But sometimes it's for another reason. And I'm thinking of the 9th chapter of the book of John, when Jesus saw a man that was blind from his birth. And, you know, his disciples asked the question. I suppose this is what was heavy in their mind, because people, when they saw people who were afflicted, often, you know, try to think, you know, that there was some kind of sin issue behind it. So it tells us in John the 9th chapter, verse 2, "And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Well, Jesus answered very simply. The answer is, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And I love how Jesus went forth. It says, "When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing." Oh, praise the Lord. Wonderful things happen when we obey the voice of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. God worked mightily. And yes, he He made clay of his own spittle, his spit, in other words. I'll tell you what, that might not sound so becoming, but praise the Lord, it was exactly what was needed. And then he took that spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And praise the Lord, that man went his way, therefore, and washed. He obeyed and came back seeing. Praise the Lord, just as Naaman, the leper in the Old Testament, the Syrian, who was a leper. He was told to wash himself in the muddy Jordan River 7 times, and he would be cleansed of his leprosy. Well, praise the Lord. Wonderful things happen when we obey the voice of the Lord, God Almighty. And here he was speaking through the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. And what a story it is. But the point that I am making is that infirmity was not because of sin. It was so that the works of God could be made manifest through the wonderful miracle that the Lord Jesus did for him. Praise the Lord. And what a chapter this is. Oh, that man ends up believing in the Lord Jesus and worshiping him. Praise the Lord. Realizing that Jesus was indeed the Christ, the Son of God. Praise the Lord. The others around him didn't get it, but that man did. And praise the Lord, God was greatly manifested. And oh my, that work was really done to bring forth a mighty thing in that day. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we don't always know why we might be afflicted. And if there is a reason, if there is a cause, then, you know, we're told to not despise the chastening of the Lord, neither to be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. And sometimes things befall us because we are following the Lord Jesus Christ. It could be that we'll even see more of this as we're seeing the things that are falling on the world right now. Oh, how important it's going to be to have our strength deeply rooted in the Lord Jesus. I know Peter wrote, and he lived in a time of trouble. He lived in a time of persecution. But in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, Peter wrote in verse 12, he wrote saying, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." But he said in verse 13, "But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. We have to go through fiery trials. If we're persecuted for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are partakers in his suffering, therefore. And it tells us all when his glory shall be revealed, when we see our Lord and Savior face to face and we stand before him. If we've suffered with him, oh, praise the Lord, we're going to be glad also with exceeding joy. Oh, praise the Lord. So, you know, it's for a reason. It's for a cause. It's going to be worth it when we see Jesus and we stand in front of him and realize we ran this race and we overcame. Amen. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony and love, not our lives unto the death. Praise the Lord. Verse 14 here in 1 Peter 4 says, "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. And then he said, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Praise the Lord, partakers of the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Going back to Psalms 42. Oh, yes, this psalmist was going through a struggle. His soul was cast down, and oh, he didn't really know all of it, why, and you know, when it would even end. But here in Psalms 42, verse 6, he begins to encourage himself. It reads, oh, my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. So he begins to think of lovely things there. Oh, yes. Perhaps it was a personal remembrance, or maybe he was recalling an event from the scripture even, but he begins to think, to remember, oh yes, something of a blessing from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. And I believe, you know, what it's referring to is Mount Hermon, which was in the northernmost boundary of the country beyond the Jordan, which Israel conquered in the days of Joshua, conquered it from the Amorites. It was also called Mount Zion in Deuteronomy 4:48. And besides, it was the highest peak in all of Palestine, 9,101 feet above the Mediterranean Sea. And it was snow-covered. It was beautiful, from what I understand. It was beautiful. And the melting snow would bring down dew on the plains below. And it was a great relief, because otherwise the land was quite barren. But it would bring relief by sending its dew down there. And it was, you know, just a beautiful place. It was, had been sacred to, of course, the, you know, the heathen, but I believe special to the people of God too. And here, yes, we have the psalmist recalling, remembering the God's blessings from the land of Jordan, you know, the Hermonites from the hill Mizar, thinking of past victories. You know, sometimes when we're fighting battles, what a blessing it is to recall victories that have been won in our lives, good things that we have seen. Oh, yes, we know how David encouraged himself in Ziklag. Oh, yes, when he and his men had come to Ziklag and you know, found that the city had been burned, and their people taken, their wives, their children, all their belongings were taken. Oh, it was such a troublous time. They came there and found it burnt. And the men, I think there were 600 of them with David, and all they could do at first was just weep. Weep, oh my. And then they began to talk about stoning David. And oh my, it was, you know, they were blaming him for the trouble. What did David do? He encouraged himself in the Lord. Oh, yes, he began to think about the victories that had been won. Perhaps he thought about Goliath and how God had helped him to slay that boastful Philistine giant. Oh, yes, who didn't think anybody could conquer him. But praise the Lord, David won that battle there in his mind. Yeah, he encouraged himself in the Lord, and then he asked for the ephah, and he began to inquire of the Lord what he should do. And God told him to go forward and encouraged him that all would be recovered. And praise the Lord, that's exactly how it happened. God worked out the circumstances, oh, in such a way, just amazingly, that absolutely everything was recovered. Oh, their wives, their children, all their belongings. That's our God. But see, it's so valuable to go back in our mind. When we're fighting a battle, we need to think about the victories that have been won. Oh, the scriptural references that talk about, oh, yeah, mighty wonders in God's word. How he led the children of Israel over the Red Sea, over the Jordan River. Oh, yes, oh, the mighty, mighty moments. So many of them in the scripture. And praise the Lord, when we begin to reflect and think back, it begins to give us hope. It gives us faith so we can believe for the moment, for the trouble that we are in at the moment. Praise the Lord, so that we can go forth and encourage ourselves and be strengthened with hope. Oh yes, and faith to believe that God's going to help us. As he helped us before, he's going to help us again. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, I believe that is what the psalmist was doing there as he was fighting this battle. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. And he goes on to say in verse 7, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of the water spouts. Ah, the waves and thy billows are gone over me. Oh, he's still feeling like he's drowned. And, you know, water, tumultuous waves, you know, like there was a hurricane or something. Oh, my, all coming over him. But, oh, my, it was a moment. And then he said in verse 8, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. Oh, praise the Lord, that God, that very present help in the time of trouble. Oh, praise the Lord, remembering, commanding his loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night, oh, praise the Lord, that song that he puts in our heart, even in the night when it's dark, when we might, oh, yes, even be encompassed about with enemies. Oh, praise the Lord can give us a song. Praise the Lord, but our God being with us constantly, knowing how to help us no matter what the matter is, so that we can say as Romans 8:31 says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Praise the Lord. That's the strength that we can draw from our God. Amen. If he is for us, praise the Lord, there is no enemy that can conquer us. Praise the Lord. Even if they would take our lives, they can't take that hope out of our heart. Amen. That hope in the Lord Jesus and in his promise in eternal life. And he goes on to say, the psalmist in verse 9, I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Obviously, yes. He had enemies, and they were as a sword in his bones. They were mocking, they were reviling him constantly, daily, mocking him, saying in a taunting way, where is thy God? But oh my, see, he's fighting a battle. Oh yes, and he ends by saying in verse 11, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? And here we have answers Oh, this is how we gain the advantage. This is how we fight. Oh, yes. This is how we win. Praise the Lord. He said, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, great things happen when we remember the Lord Jesus, when we remember Calvary, and truly he was mocked, he was despised, he was ridiculed. Oh, yes. He felt forsaken there on the cross when he took our sins upon himself. Oh, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But praise the Lord, he was doing it because he knew he was going to redeem a people. He was buying a people. He was redeeming you and I. Oh, yes, that we might have hope in a troubled time, that we might overcome the world, that we might overcome the flesh, that we might overcome the devil. Amen. He was dying so he could have a people that would serve him with all their hearts and have hope in a troubled time. Oh, yes, that would draw nigh to him and turn their lives over to the living God. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for that gift of salvation. Thank you for that price that you paid. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, he was made a derision for us. Those that watched him mocked him. Oh, yes, there were soldiers that mocked and scorned and ridiculed. You know, if thou be the Son of God, come down from that cross. And yes, he could have called his angels to deliver him. But then we would not have known salvation. We would not have known what it's like to be free from our sins and to have hope in God. Oh, yes, hope in heaven. Praise the Lord, that place where we'll forever be with our God. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for what you did. And yes, I believe, yes, what the psalmist was going through also depicts what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did for us when he took our sins upon himself on the cross and died on our behalf that he might win us. Oh, yes, that he might bring forth a people, his children, praise the Lord, that would serve him. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to turn to another psalm now, Psalm 71, and see how the Lord leads us in this. Oh, there, you know, were a lot of times in the lives of the psalmists that, you know, you could tell that they are going through a battle. And this 71st psalm is one of those. But we see this writer, this psalmist, desired to put his trust, his hope in the Lord. Amen. So yes, here it is, Psalms 71. He writes in verse 1, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. And here, you know, we hear of some of his troubles. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thy ear unto me and save me. Oh, trouble. Sound like trouble again. But oh, he's crying out to God. He says in verse 3, be thou my strong habitation, oh, my dwelling place, the place in which I rest, whereunto I may continually resort. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, we can go to the Lord Jesus all the time. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. And yeah, this psalmist is realizing, yes, oh, beseeching God that he would be his strong habitation whereunto I may continually resort. Oh, praise the Lord. And that's our God. Oh, we can go to him day or night. Oh, it doesn't matter. Oh, he's always there to hear us and to deliver us. Praise the Lord. He continues by saying, Thou hast given commandment to save me, for Thou art my rock and my fortress. Oh, praise the Lord, I see this great big rock, this unmovable object, oh, that we can stand on, that we can hold to, that isn't going to be shaken, it isn't going to be broken. It's there, it's solid, we can stand on it. And that's our God, that's His promises, amen. Praise the Lord, and He's our fortress. Oh, yes, the one, oh, yes, that shields us, that holds us up, that hides us, oh, in His place of refuge. Praise the Lord. Amen. And He goes on to say, Deliver me, oh my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust for my youth. Oh, Lord, I've sought You. Oh, since the days when I was young. And He goes on to say in verse 6, By Thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art He that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of Thee. Oh, praise the Lord, our gracious God, who saw us from the foundation of the world, noted us, oh yes, when we were yet in our mother's womb. Praise the Lord that took us out. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, He said, my praise shall be continually of Thee. Oh, who else is worthy of our praise? Our trust. Oh my, who else could deliver us? Oh, who else is there that could save us from the enemy and set us free, deliver us out of the hands of the devil? Oh, out of that condemnation that we were all doomed for. Verse 7 says, I am as a wonder unto many, but Thou art my strong refuge. Oh, yes, obviously they were looking at Him. They were mocking Him. Oh, He felt like He was in trouble. You know, there were wicked men that didn't see and understand. And God knows what all they were trying to do. But yet, you know, here He's acknowledging God. You know, what a secret there is in praise. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, I was sharing. My oldest daughter, Ruth, and I were talking last night, and we've been talking a lot about the need to praise and worship the Lord. She was referring to some of those verses in the 42nd Psalm, and, you know, she's saying, you know, I'm beginning to realize that there's a secret in praise. Oh, wonderful things happen when we truly praise the Lord with all our hearts. And oh, he goes on to say in verse 8, Let my mouth be filled with Thy praise and with Thy honor all the day. Praise the Lord. Oh, let my mouth be filled with Thy praise, with Thy honor all the day. And oh, there he's beseeching the Lord in the next verses. Verse 9, Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together. Oh, they were all huddled together. Oh, they were in a conference. They were trying to determine how to get rid of him. And they were murmuring. They were saying, as verse 11 tells us, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him. For there is none to deliver him. Huh, there he is, a feeble person, you know, who's to deliver him. But oh my, he's crying out to the one who can. He's crying out to God. Oh, he's crying out with all his heart. And he's saying in verse 12, Oh God, be not far from me. Oh my God, make haste for my help. Oh yes, he knows what the enemy is plotting. Oh, they're all huddled together and trying to come against him. Oh, even to kill him, I suppose. Oh, he says in verse 13, Let them be confounded, in other words, confused, and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord knows how to bring down all that evil upon their own pate, upon their own head, as the scripture tells us. But he goes on to say, oh, this is where his heart is. Oh, this is where our hearts must be. This is where our hope must be. He says in verse 14, But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. Praise the Lord. See how it goes together? Oh, yes, despite what they're thinking and planning and you know, what they, you know, intend to do, I'm not going to let it get to me. My hope is in God. My hope is continually in God. And I'm just going to praise Him more and more and more and more. He says in verse 15, my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the number thereof. Oh, no, we don't know the days of our life. No, we don't know what tomorrow may be, what tomorrow may hold. But praise the Lord, we can put it in God's hands. Oh, yes, we know it'll be okay if our lives are wrought in Christ. Oh, yes, we're in God's hands. We're in His safety, in His ways. And so he goes on to say, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to stand here and hide. I'm not going to cower down. No, I am going to go in the strength of the Lord, knowing that He is with me. He can deliver me. He is God, and there is none beside Him. He knows how to help me. Praise the Lord. And so, yes, we see steps of faith. This is faith that we're talking about. Oh, yes, to go forward. Oh, yes, to hang on to that hope. To hang on to those praises. And to go forth. To go forth. To do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Going in the strength of the Lord. Oh, the Lord God. Yes, knowing that it's not by our might. Nor by our power. But it's by the strength of the Lord, by His might, by His power. Praise the Lord, oh yes, because He is with us. Because He can give us a strength that we would not have of ourselves. He gives us a hope that is not possible without Him. But He gives us a strength. Praise the Lord. I love how Isaiah 40 reads here at the very end of that chapter in Isaiah. Verse 29 says, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But listen to this, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, praise the Lord. We're talking about a supernatural strength that only God can give us. We might be faint. We might have absolutely no strength of our own. Our abilities may be nil. But we're talking about waiting upon God. We're talking about going in the strength of our God. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, as verse 28 here in Isaiah 40 says, who fainteth not, neither is weary, neither is there any searching of his understanding. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, He knows how to give us power in our time of need, to give us a strength, oh, that we have not, even when everybody else is failing, and the young that you would think could go forward are fainting. I praise the Lord for those that wait upon the Lord. He knows how to give us a strength that we can mount up with wings as eagles. We can run and not be weary. We can walk and not faint. Oh, praise the Lord. So, yes, back here in Psalms 71, 16 again reads, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. See, we must give the glory, the credit, the praise to God. It isn't because of our abilities. It isn't because of our intellect. It isn't because of our backgrounds, our education. Oh, yes, our ancestry. No, it's because of God and His call to us as a people and His enablement that He gives us so that we could go forward and do those things that we need to do in the strength of the Lord. Yes, I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, when we stand before Him, it's not going to be because of works that we have done, but it's because of His mercy that He saved us. The washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord, as it tells us in Titus, that third chapter. Praise the Lord, oh yes. Oh, that one that called us unto repentance. And when we gave heed, praise the Lord, and obeyed that call, we repented of our sins. We turned our lives over to God. Oh yes, we obeyed the command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, with the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, His Spirit to come in and dwell in our very beings. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Verse 17 continues here in Psalm 71. Oh God, Thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared Thy wondrous works. Oh, praise the Lord. What a joy. Oh, and now He says, now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed Thy strength unto this generation and Thy power to everyone that is to come. Oh, praise the Lord, till our work is done. Yeah, that's right, till we, you know, explained the glorious gospel. Oh, to the generations that follow, we've done the work that the Lord has given us to do, and accomplish that by His grace, by His enablement. Praise the Lord, oh, that power, oh, that He gives us so that we continue to show His strength unto this generation and Thy power to everyone that is to come. Praise the Lord. That testimony. We all have a testimony. If we've been redeemed, if we've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, then we have something to share. We have a testimony. Amen. We have hope to give to the world, to give to our children, to give to our grandchildren. Oh, yes, to give to the next door neighbor. Praise the Lord. All those that we would meet. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord Jesus. And it continues in verse 19. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Oh my, He's so far above us. Oh, His righteousness. But praise the Lord, you know, when we stand before Him, it's going to be His righteousness that enables us to stand and be accepted in His sight. Clothed in His righteousness. Praise the Lord. And oh my, how can we attain to it? But praise the Lord, He knows how to clothe us with His righteousness. Oh, He says again, verse 19, see, you know, this psalmist, though he has adversaries, though they're running after him, though they're, you know, desiring to persecute him, and thinking that he's helpless. Oh, he's not helpless. He has hope in God. And he goes on to say in verse 19, Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things? O God, who is like unto thee? Oh, wow. Praise our God. There is none like our God. And all the things that happen when we begin to think of the great things of God, His great mercies, oh, His kindnesses, His power, His abilities, which, we can't even begin to understand. He's the creator of the universe. Oh my, He's the creator of the earth. He's our creator. He has put it all together. It's all in His hands. He knows it all. He sees it all. There's nothing that He can't do. Oh God, who is like unto Thee. There's nothing that could ever compare. And then in verse 20, He is going to express that hope that is deep in His heart. Oh, praise the Lord. This is so beautiful. He says in verse 20, Thou which have showed me great and sore troubles shall quicken me again and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. See, He's understanding. Even though I hit the dust, and even though I be consumed, yet I have a hope. A hope in the resurrection. A hope in a God that who is going to quicken me again. He's going to make me alive. He is going to bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Praise the Lord, the resurrection. Oh, the Lord. Oh, bringing forth His children. Praise the Lord who are in the dust of the earth. Job expressed it too. 19th chapter of Job. Oh, I love verses 25, 26, 27. Oh, Job, too, had that hope within him. Job said in verse 25 of the 19th chapter of Job, and he was in the midst of trouble. Oh, he was fighting a great battle, too. Oh, yes, even his best friends were clobbering him and, trying to say that it's because of your sin. Job, you're not so good as you think or you thought you were. And, they're putting it all on him. But, he had a hope in his heart. And he stated in verse 25 here in that 19th chapter, For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. Though my reins be consumed within me, my inwards, all of that gone. But praise the Lord, there's something greater than death. When we're a Christian, there's a hope deep in our heart. Oh yes, a hope. We know that our Redeemer liveth. And He's going to stand at the latter day upon the earth. He's coming back. He's going to stand upon the earth. And oh yes, at that moment there's going to be a resurrection. Praise the Lord. All those that have lived are going to stand before Him. The resurrection of the dead. Oh my. And despite the fact that our skin might have been devoured by worms, yet He's going to raise our body again. Praise the Lord. He's going to bring it together. He's going to put it all together. And it's going to be a body that no longer knows death. Amen. A resurrected body like unto His own. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Yet my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. Praise the Lord. Even though my reins would be consumed. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We have hope in our God. And therefore, we have hope in the time of trouble. No matter what the affliction, no matter what the problem, no matter what the circumstances, no matter if the enemy might be surrounding us, if we are God, we have a deliverer. We have a savior. We have one that, in whom we can trust. a solid rock on which we can stand, a fortress, oh yes, a place of safety, despite all the goings on in every direction. And all the psalmist back in Psalm 71, and verse 20 again, thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shall quicken me again and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Oh, praise the Lord, our hope in God, his resurrection. Oh, yes, that reality that we will see him and behold him. Oh, yes. And oh, yes, the great hope that we will, oh, yes, be accepted of him. When we stand, that we will stand in his sight. And oh, yes, the psalmist continues to encourage himself. Oh, yes, this is how he's going to gain the victory. Oh, yeah, and he's telling us how we need to respond when trouble seems to overwhelm. When the night is dark and the clouds are thick and the battle is strong and our enemies rise up against us. This is how we win. Oh, yes. It says, verse 21, thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Praise the Lord. I will also praise thee with the psaltery. Even thy truth, O my God, unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. All the praises that come from our heart as we think upon the Lord, as we meditate upon his word, and we let, oh yes, it come from our heart as we play it on an instrument perhaps, or sing it with our voice. Oh, sing it with the harp. Oh, praise the Lord, that praise to our God. Oh, praise the Lord, that song that he gives us. A song because we've been redeemed. We've been set free from sin. We don't have to live in condemnation. We don't have to live in our sins. Oh, praise the Lord, we have hope. Oh, in the resurrecting power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that he is with us. Praise the Lord. So, yeah. Yes, we're going to win this battle. We're going to win this war. Praise the Lord. We're going to sing praises to our God. Oh, we're going to play them with our instrument. That's the case. But we're going to praise him. We're going to worship him. Verse 23 says, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. Oh, praise the Lord. See, oh, there's... oh, nothing like being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Nothing like being, oh yes, brought to God, reconciled to God. Oh, to know that he is our Lord, that he is our Savior. Praise the Lord. Oh, so despite the trouble, oh my, there's something in our heart. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, that hope is something. They may try to take it away. They might try to persuade us to give in and deny our Lord. Oh, to walk away from the promises of God. But we must not. We must never entertain that. We must never do such a thing. Oh my, no, we must realize where our hope and our strength is. Praise the Lord. Oh yes. And that wonderful reality that we have been redeemed. This chapter ends by the psalmist saying, my tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. For they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, the song of the redeemed, that song that the Lord puts in our hearts. Praise the Lord. And what is more worthy to be spoken of than God's righteousness, His wonders, His salvation? Oh, it's something for us to meditate on all day long. It's something for us to speak of all the day long. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, because the enemy is going to be brought down. They are going to be confounded. They are going to be confused. They are going to be brought down. They are going to be brought unto shame that seek my hurt. And so it is. If our life is in Christ, oh, this is how we can respond when we are in troubled times. Oh, our God gives us hope. Our God, oh yes, gives us a praise. Oh yes, and despite the circumstances, the affliction, the burdens, the enemy's persecution. Oh, praise the Lord. There is something that goes deeper in our soul than all of that. And praise the Lord, we have hope. We have hope that's deep within. Praise the Lord. And despite trouble, despite burdens, despite enemies, despite sorrow, things we can't even understand, oh, we need to hope in God. As it says in Psalms 42, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, that praise that wells up within, because our God has delivered us. He brought us up out of the miry clay. He set our feet upon the rock, Christ Jesus. He established our goings, as Psalms 40 tells us. And praise the Lord, He hath put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. This is how we gain the advantage. This is how we overcome. This is how we win the victory in the day of trouble. Praise the Lord. Oh no, our God has not left us comfortless. Oh yes, He's a very present help. He's here to meet every need, to hold us up, to bring us through, to deliver us, to set us free. Oh yes, and to give us hope in the troubled times. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Do you love Him tonight? Do you praise Him tonight? Oh, Lord Jesus, we worship You, Lord. Oh, God, we praise Thee, Lord. Oh, God, we thank Thee, Lord. Oh, God, we have hope in Thee. We have strength in Thee. Oh, God, there is none like unto Thee. We love Thee, Lord. Work in our hearts. Oh, God, give us that song of praise unto our God that many shall see. Oh, yes, and therefore also come to Thee also, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Work in us in a mighty way. Give us hope in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise our God. Yes, we have hope in a troubled time. Amen. Praise our God. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank You, Lord. Oh, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord Jesus. We love You, Lord.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our melodies of praise hymnal to number 18 and sing The Solid Rock, number 18.
On Christ the solid rock I stand.
on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, only I then in Him be found. Rest in His righteous bliss alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is